What up, Jay?
Yo, what's up, Eric? How you doing?
Never better, Jay. We live in a wonderful time. No longer do you have to go to radio stations and do these things.
Yeah, you're not lying, buddy. This is good stuff.
You're not even in Michigan yet, are you?
No, I leave tomorrow. I'll get in tomorrow night.
The weather's horrible. I'm not kidding
you. It's okay.
It's so bad.
It's okay. I have a ticket home.
How's your health?
My health?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic, buddy. Just swam 30 laps.
You look like you're getting ready to enter a bodybuilding competition. You look very strong and robust. What are you doing? What's happening?
Well, I gained 50 pounds in rehab for starters. That's mostly what you see is my weight gain. And then, spiritual first, then the mental, then the physical. So now I'm finally getting around to exercise. And so I've been swimming laps.
I'm happy to hear that. That makes me happy. I'm glad you're doing well.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, one of my favorite things that I've ever experienced in making me laugh is when you're on Jim Rome's show for the Smack Off. And I tell you what, is that still a thing? Or are you ever going to emerge on that, doing that again? Do you think?
Probably not. It was really fun. It was just, I don't have the luxury of being negative like that. Okay. Like really just taking guys out. Cause I don't really know. And plus it's an unfair disadvantage. Like everybody else in the Smack Off knows me and knows details about me, and they're just anonymous radio hosts, radio callers.
Right, right. One of the things that I picked up on that was it seemed like there is a lot of preparation for anyone, not just you, who would actually do those moments on the Smack Off show. And for those who don't know, you just call and you just talk shit about somebody or a sports figure, and whoever does the best wins the prize, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I kept finishing eighth. I don't want to say I have an entitlement issue, but I thought I should have finished like top two a couple times.
Right. It's
a little embarrassing when you know the host and you finish eighth. Maybe the fix is in.
It's a magical thing that he does. I'll have to say this: when it comes to Jim, what he's managed to do on that show is you don't have to know anything about sports. Because I don't know shit about sports, but I'm one of these guys that listen to him like, oh, fuck, yes, this is great because of his approach on those things. I always liked it. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I still love his show.
Oh, yeah.
It really makes me laugh every time I listen to it.
It's incredibly consistent. You know what you're going to get. And that's good. And you, of course, do in radio. I admire you because of you got comedy, you've got acting, radio, podcasting, all of these things happening to you or have happened to you at one. But your number one love is comedy. Isn't that right?
Yeah. You know, I really found March 11th last year was my intervention. I was addicted to Adderall really bad for about 5-6 years. I mean, it was bad. And stand-up comedy was gone. I was out of the business. My agents, I was that guy. Like, I was that cautionary tale. Like, don't hire that guy. You'll get burned. He's, you know, audiences were filling out comment cards saying I was a mess. I was a bum. They wanted their money back. And that terrified me because I don't know how to do anything else. I'm a comic. Like, I learned this past year how much I love stand-up comedy. And it's a great life. I go out every other week. I have 20 days off a month. And then when I'm quote unquote working, I get to sleep until 1.
Right. Right. And I was reading in an article, you had done a show recently to great reviews in Spokane, and the folks at the newspaper there or web publication interviewed you and you spoke to this. And, you know, because the lifestyle, when you're on the road, this could creep up on you if you're not careful again. I know this isn't the funniest topic in the world, but what the hell do you do when you're on the road?
I bring my sponsor with me. I fly my sponsor out. I pay him as a sober companion and, you know, play chess, work out, and sleep. I sleep a lot. I sleep a lot on the road. I got a 10-year-old son as a roommate. And he gets up at like 5:30 or what, because apparently he's a longshore fisherman. I don't know what it is, but boys, they like sleep scares them to death. Like they think the fucking world is going to evaporate if they're unconscious. It's amazing. With basically all I want to do is I'd rather sleep than have sex, like period.
No, we're very similar. You're only a year or a month younger than me. I'm also a drunk. I quit drinking in 1996. It's been a long time. And thank you. It's so much easier this way. You know, it's just one less thing to worry about.
The bandwidth I've gotten back, not obsessing over pills or booze or, you know, I was a pleasure seeking missile, you know, and the bandwidth I got back, my comedy has exploded. Like I've never been funnier. I've never written more material. I've never been more present on stage. I've never been more comfortable on stage. I've never drawn better crowds. It's like, it's a funny thing. It's the more I work a 12-step program, the more the people around me acted the way I always wanted them to act. Like there's a weird change in me that changes the molecules of other people around me.
Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device. All right. Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app that it's going to work okay in that app. And oh, my God, this is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And of course, it's a video camera, so it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/video lock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/video lock. eufyofficial.com/video lock.
Were you at any one point concerned that if you stop using, that it would affect how funny you were?
No, I knew. I just, because I've quit on my own for bits of time. You have to understand, like I quit drinking booze in 1998. I got sober last year. So that's 23 years of being full of shit. That's 23 years of doing it my way, being entitled, like thinking I could figure it out on my own and switching addictions from booze to NyQuil to Vicodin to reefer and Adderall to Adderall. And then Adderall was just the last spoke in the wheel where I hit my bottom, and my bottom was losing comedy. But I never worried about it. You know, when I worried about it was when I got out of rehab. I'd been in for 2 months. So no stand-up comedy thoughts at all for 2 months. And it's like that raging fire went down to a little pilot light. You want to talk about imposter syndrome. I was just walking on stage like, wait, what do I do? What do I say? It was just, it was like putting on a bear costume or something. It was so foreign. It's like dressing up like a bear.
Now that's that is very risky business in intervention because they don't always work and they're not received well. Yeah. That is, so whoever put that on, that takes a lot of guts because it could go poorly. And you, thank God, responded. Was it right at that moment that you were like, all right, that's it. I'm putting an end to this. Or did it take a little time after you got into rehab?
Good questions. Plural, good questions. I kept so many secrets, Eric, that I kept the fact that I wanted to get off drugs a secret too. So I was relieved that I was at an intervention. I was mortified. I was really embarrassed, humiliated. And I was shocked because I didn't know that many people loved me to pull off an intervention. Like, I watched the show all the time. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I really, like, the more drugs I used, the more isolated I became. And the more I convinced, the story I told myself was I was God's lonely man. I'm an artist. I'm just walking this life like a Springsteen character. Like, there's a darkness on the edge of town. Everything's just out of reach. So then just to be face to face with 15 people, like, crying in a room, begging me to get help, I blurted out about 10 minutes into my intervention. I just blurted out. I said, just so you guys know, I'm going. But I also did that in my best interest because I knew if they read their bottom line letters, I knew I would die a junkie. I knew that if they read their consequence letters, if you don't get help, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to move away. I'm going to do this. I'm going to lock the doors.
Right.
I knew I would use because I use at them. So that was some providence, some divine intervention there. And somebody at my intervention said, you said you've never given 100% at anything. Let it be this. And I went, she's right. I comedy, acting, girls, athletics, everything's kind of come easy to me. I've kind of given 88% at my most at everything. So I went, all right, if I'm going to be sober, I'm going to out sober all you motherfuckers. I'm going to be the soberest guy. And so, I celebrated a year last Saturday and my life has never been better. It's like getting a cheat code to a video game, but it's not a video game. It's your life.
Yeah. It's a fucking miracle, man. It's hearing you describe, the miracle of a 12-step program and that transformation, it actually excites me. It makes the hairs stand up. It's like, I want to run through a wall. It's like, oh yeah, this guy is doing it right now.
And yeah.
And you, as you continue to work your way through the program, you'll get to a terrific spot where you're the one reaching out to people and helping them, because being relatively new to the program.
Yeah. I didn't get sober to sit on the bench, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And people say, like, oh, pink cloud, you better have a pink parachute. But I got a great sponsor who's been sober 15 years. And he goes, it hasn't ended for me. And then I did the steps the second time with a second guy. And he said, never ended for me. Tell everybody to kiss your ass when they tell you you're on a pink cloud. You get out of it what you put into it. The steps don't work for anybody. We work for them.
That's fantastic. I'm really happy to hear that, Jay. For people who are watching this or struggling, there is an alternative. So, by all means, reach out. I'd love to talk to anybody who is.
Yeah. Reach out, Eric. Reach out to me. Like, all you have to lose is your addiction. If it doesn't work, you can always go back to that.
Right.
No one comes into a program on a winning streak. If it doesn't work out, you can go back to the shitty life you've been living. You got nothing to lose. Give it a year.
You called your latest special Altamont, and you did that because you were such a disaster on the stage, like the historic concert for the Rolling Stones.
Right. Yeah. It worked out well, though. Nobody got murdered.
Right.
But I was like the audience at Altamont on the inside. It's kind of fascinating to watch me in the grips of my addiction deliver a good special. Like, it really is pretty fascinating to know that that's the muscle memory and the recall. And, when I even in my addiction, I could deliver, and it gives me great hope and great, not even hope. It gives me great confidence and knowledge knowing that sober, there's no limit to this. It's great.
So did you have to, so you're watching this, taking your, working your way through sobriety, and you're like, well, I don't want to have to publish this, but it's pretty fucking good, despite the fact that I'm drunk or high at that point.
No, I wanted it to come out, definitely, no matter what, because I stand by it. It's great. I think it's a great
story. Yeah, and it is.
And it's directed by Paul Toogood, who did, he did the Art of Rap documentary. So, like, it's in a club. You know, it's, you know, people do specials in this giant theater. They put on a suit. That's not how I go to work. I go to work in a flannel shirt, jeans and boots, and I'm ready to, you know, I want to kick the shit out of it. So I thought it was pretty neat. Like, I didn't think I was a mess when I was filming it.
No, which is of course the grand not. Irony.
But after the fact, it was, yeah, let's get this out. Plus, you also want to get this stand-up catalog. You know, you want to move on and get some new stuff rolling. Because I got all this new stuff about my intervention, about what a mess I was, about going to rehab. Okay.
Well, that, to me, that's always the best. When someone can take something as serious like that and put it on its ear, and then the audience is just dying for more. And you're going to be speaking to some of these people. You always know someone in the audience who might have a problem because they're sitting there listening to you, and they almost look pissed off when you're making sense about whatever it is you're talking about. you.
If you're not an alcoholic, please come to the show and drink till your gills get full. It doesn't affect me whatsoever because, like I said, I haven't drank since 98. It's not an issue for me.
Yeah.
Just look, I just like to get out there and just do it. I just love doing stand-up comedy. And you know what? Straight up, I'm the best. Like, you come see my show, tell me a better show you've seen. I'll give you your money back. How's that?
That's great. I love that. Well, Jay, you have two shows Friday, Grand Rapids, two shows Saturday, both at Creston Brewery, Grand Rapids Comedy Club. That's exciting. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're doing fantastic. And hell, man, you're gonna knock them dead.
Let's do it, buddy. Stay in touch. I love you, pal.
All right, Jay. God bless. See ya.
Peace.
Bye-bye.